So next, I'm going to go into a little demo of 1Password. It's spelled the digit 1Password. 1Password is known as a password manager. And I'm going to give you all a little quiz. I want you to tell me, what is a password manager and what's its value?
Stores up all your passwords and logs you in automatically and hopefully keeps everything encrypted.
Okay.
Hey, you don't have to remember them all the time. You can just tell 1Password to use the password that you have for that program.
Okay, and I heard somebody in the back of the room start to say something.
You create strong passwords.
Yes, you guys have really answered it, and Jeanette kind of did the final really important piece of it. It's used for creating strong passwords that you don't have to remember. And isn't that a novel thought? We always think, oh my God, I got to remember my password. And we get different passwords and then we think, okay, which one was for this program? And when did I change the number on it? And which dog was it that I used in my password? And that sort of thing. A password manager enables you to actually randomly generate passwords. So 1Password has a password generator. You tell it how many characters long you want the password to be and whether it's okay to include certain symbols or not, and whether you want uppercase characters, and it will generate a password that you'd never remember in your wildest dreams, even if you wanted to. The beauty of a program like this is that you don't have to. 1Password is available on Windows, Mac, iOS, Android, and on the web. So if all else fails, as long as you have certain bits of information to enter into the 1Password website, you can get at your vault, which contains your entries, and you can open websites, you can activate things, and you can actually read the passwords if you need to. So it keeps track of your passwords and makes it very easy to generate long and very cryptic ones. And anytime you read anything on protecting yourself on the web, one of the things that's always recommended is create cryptic passwords that other people won't be able to guess at and change them often. And this gives you the ability to do that. This program can be used as a standalone, but it's much better and recommended to use it as a subscription. The cost is, I think it's $5 a month for a family account, which lets you use it with up to 5 people in your family. You can share the same vault with them if you're crazy enough to want your kids to know your own passwords, or you can actually give them the ability to set up their own vault and you can keep your vault separate from it. As Jeanette mentioned, to get into your account, once you've got everything all set up, you use a master password. If you need to change it, you can do that on the website. You can do it on the app also, but it's better and recommended to do it on the website. Your master password is critical. If you lose it, they have no way of recovering it for you. So you have 3 things that you need to know to log in. You need your username, you need a secret code. They recommend that you store that in a safe place on paper, because that is the key to getting into just about everything in the program. But you still need a master password, and that when you want to be something that you yourself can remember, something that has some meaning to you but would not to other people. So the subscription account gives you access to its own syncing program. Yes, you could sync with iCloud or with Dropbox or a couple of other programs, but it is much more cumbersome, and this syncing is just flawless and effortless. Once it's set up, it's very easy to sync with it. The address for 1Password is www.1password.com. You can go there to read about it, to download the app and try it if you want to, and to sign up if you choose to do that. The account, that $5 fee that I said, and it's two something if it's just an individual wants it, gives you access to all the apps that I mentioned, iOS, Android, and so on. So here are some of the things that you can easily save in 1Password. Logins, credit cards, social security numbers, documents, databases. I haven't done that yet, so I don't quite know how that works. I did save a spreadsheet, and it works fine. It saves it and encrypts it, but in order to use it, you have to download it back into your computer from 1Password. So that's a bit cumbersome, but certainly can be done if you have something that is really very private information that you don't want anyone to get access to. You can also store identities. So for example, my identity would include my credit card information, my address, phone number, website, email address, all that stuff. And I can use that to easily insert that information into a web page if I'm filling out an application or something like that. You can have multiple vaults. The setup is not particularly easy. It involves installing the app on your computer and also installing an add-in on the browser that you use. I happen to use Firefox and Chrome, so I put the browser on both of them. And it took me a little while. It does give you instructions to do it. That's the other thing that I'll say is a little bit short of perfect in 1Password. That is that its documentation, you can find it, but sometimes you have to search for it. They have a lot of videos that quickly show sighted people how to do things. But for us, you got to really understand it, and it does take some time. In fact, I've been using it now for probably 3 months, and at about 4 o'clock this morning while I was preparing this talk, I learned a new thing that I wasn't aware of about it. So there's a lot to it. It's quite sophisticated. How would it compare with something like RoboForm if you used to use that or if you're still using it? It is light years ahead of it when it comes to accessibility. I used RoboForm for at least 10 years, probably more like 15, and I used to really like it, but the better it got for the general public, the worse it got for those of us who use screen readers. Let's see. Some information that 1Password keeps is it can show you a list of passwords that have been breached or weak passwords that you have or ones that you've used more than once, like you've changed the password and then changed it back to the thing that it was before. It shows you exactly which websites and which passwords you have problems with and recommends that you change them. It also has something called tags. I never could figure out what this was, but I just figured it out this morning. You can create a tag. So for example, I created a tag called Vibug, and I'll demonstrate that when I go to that tag, it shows me all the entries I have in my vault related to Vibug. You can also see your password history. This is really useful. Let's say you change your password today on a particular website and you store it in 1Password, but maybe you made a mistake or something went wrong and you need to go back and see what the previous one was. You can find that very easily on the app. You can sort your entries. You can search for a particular entry very easily. And there is a lot of help material available on there too. You can import from other password managers such as RoboForm and some of the other popular ones. So that's basically a rundown of what it can do. Now I'm going to demonstrate it, and then I'll take questions from anyone that has them. I usually use the taskbar to get to 1Password, so I'm going to do Windows T to get to the taskbar.
Windows T, taskbar, Microsoft Edge button to move for right, press number right arrow.
I certainly don't want Microsoft Edge, which is the first thing on there, but I will hit the number 1. Since that's what 1Password starts with.
1Password button.
And enter.
Enter. 1Password. Password edit. Password edit. Password edit. Password edit. Password edit. Password edit. 1Password.
It tends to repeat that. It really wants me to put in my master password. So let me do that.
Star, star, star. Enter. Unavailable. Search for your items. Edit. Type and tag.
So as you can hear, it's star, star, star. All right. So my password's in. So I'm on a search box right now, but I'll just tab through the fields here so you can hear what it says.
Tab, new item, control plus N button to activate, press
put a
space
new
bar.
Item in with control N.
Tab, 99 items sorted by title button to activate,
it's telling me I have 99 items. They're sorted by title. I could sort them by category or a couple of other things. And if I tab again, it'll take me to my first one, I believe.
Tab, multi-select list box, Bank of America, 12 of 13.
So Bank of America happened to be the last one that I used, so it's taken me right to it. Now, on my computer at home, if I hit enter at this point, it will log me in. I'm not sure that it's set up properly on this computer, but I'll just give you I'll give it a try and we'll see what happens.
Enter. Untitled Google Chrome. Untitled Google Chrome. Bank of America banking, credit cards, home loans and auto loans. Page has 5 regions, 8 headings and 45 links. Passcode, password edit. Required password edit, sign in button, link forgot ID / passcode, link security and help layer.
Okay, so it took me to the password field, but for some reason it hasn't filled it in. And I'm glad because it gives me a chance to show you something. So let me get back to that password field.
Link forgot ID sign in button. Required combo box mode star star star.
That's my username. I've saved that.
Enter your passcode.
Here's the password
required
field.
Password edit.
I'm going to get into forms mode.
Enter.
And I'm going to invoke something called the mini password manager. This is part of why you have to put an add-in into your browser. So I'm going to do a control alt backslash.
Alt control backslash one password mini, filling in Chrome for www.bankofamerica.com. Search for your items, edit, type of text.
And it tells me I can search for my items, but I'm going to tab and see if it happens to realize that I'm looking for Bank of America.
Tab, list box, Bank of America, 2 of 2.
And it did. Sometimes it says 2 of 2 when there's really only one thing there, but that's okay. I'm going to hit enter on Bank of America.
Enter, Bank of America banking, credit cards, home loans and auto loans, Google Chrome, passcode, password, edit required, bullet, type of text, passcode, password, edit required, bullet, passcode, password, edit, bullet, Bank of America online banking, sign in online ID, Google Chrome, passcode, password, edit required, bullet, press enter for forms mode.
And I think it's going to sign me in.
Save this online ID, checkbox not checked, link online ID, help layer.
Maybe not.
Passcode is unavailable, please enter at least 6 characters of online ID to enable passcode.
Well, I'm not going to belabor this. Somehow I've got a problem with my online ID on this computer and in this password entry. So maybe this wasn't a good example, but take my word for it. When I do it at home on my desktop computer, it works every time, all the time. But I wanted to demonstrate this mini password manager to you. So I'm going to close Chrome.
Alt F4, one password, multi-select list box, Bank of America, 12.
And I'm going to show you how I can search for something. I'm going to shift tab a couple of times till I get to tags.
Shift tab, 99 items, shift tab, new item, shift tab, search for shift tab, preview, all shift tab, tab, preview, all items, 99 items to move through or expand items.
Okay, so I'm on all items. If I arrow down,
favorites, one items.
I've got favorites and I've only saved one. I don't quite understand the value of favorites in here.
Watchtower closed.
Watchtower. No, this is not a Jehovah's Witness magazine. The Watchtower is where it keeps track of things like weak password. So I'll just go into Watchtower and let you hear what the options are.
Watchtower open. Compromised logins, no items. Vulnerable passwords, no items. Reused passwords, 59 items.
So I've used 59 items more than I should have.
Weak passwords, 15 items.
And I've got 15 weak passwords.
Unsecured websites, 14 items.
I don't know if that means those are websites that don't use the S in the web address, but I have 14 of those. I got to work on that.
Inactive 2FA, no items.
Inactive two-factor identification. They just recently added two-factor identification to this program, and I'm not familiar with it, but I just want you to know that it is there, and it's supposed to be able to log you into things that require that second level of identification.
Expiring, one items.
Expiring, I don't know how it finds out, but it says that it can show you when a password's about to expire.
Categories closed.
Okay, that's that. So that's the... That was what the Watchtower does. The next thing is categories. Let's look at those.
Categories open. Logins, 72 items.
Logins.
Secure notes, 5 items.
Secure notes.
Credit cards, 6
credit
items.
Credit cards.
Identities, 1 item.
Identities.
Passwords, 6 items.
Passwords,
6 items. Documents, 2 items.
Passwords would be where you're just trying to remember a password for something. It's not a login, it's maybe not even a website, but you need to jot a password down and keep it safe.
Documents, 2 items.
Documents.
Bank accounts, 1 item.
Bank accounts.
Email accounts, 2 items.
Email.
Software licenses, 2
Software
items.
Software licenses.
Wireless routers, 2 items.
Wireless routers. I've got 2 of them in there. I've got mine, and I put my son's in there because they gave me the password recently, and I don't know if they'll ever give it to me again, so I put it in there.
Tags, open.
And then we've got tags. Let's see what I've got in tags. I don't have much in here.
Bookmark, 1 item.
Bookmarks, because one of the things I used to really like about RoboForm is that I could easily save bookmarks and get to them much more easily than using the bookmarks on the browser. I used to really like that, but a couple of things have happened since then. Number one, it's not as important to save bookmarks anymore because for most websites, you can just Google them and find them. But I did put it in here in case I want to start saving some.
Starter kit, 7 items.
The starter kit is the tags that are in there when you first get one password, and I don't know why they call it that. Then I've got...
Vibug, 3 items.
Vibug, Vibug. So if I want to see what's in Vibug, while I'm resting on that entry in tags, I'll tab over.
Tab, search for your tab, new item, tab, 3 items sorted by tab, multi-select list box, Twitter for Vibug, 2 of 6.
I've got our Twitter account, I arrow down.
Vibug, Boa Visa.
I've got our Bank of America Visa information.
Zoom for Vibug, Zoom.
And I've got the Zoom link for Vibug meetings using Zoom. So those are just a few of the things that it can do.
Shift tab, new item control plus N button to act.
If you use tags or something like that from this tree view, you got to remember to go back and set it to all, otherwise it won't find things for
Shift
you.
Shift tab, search for your items, edit, type of text.
So let me go back
Shift
there.
Shift tab, tree view, tags, home, all items, 99 items.
Set it to all.
Tab, search for your items, edit, type of.
Okay, let's say I wanted to find, I'll try Caremark, which is my medical care, my refill prescription company. So I'll type in Caremark, and I'll tab four times.
Caremark tab, B, clear search tab, new item control plus a tab, one item sorted by title button, tab, multi-select list box, Caremark,
and there it is. So it's very easy to find things. Now, if I hit enter on this, with any luck, it would open it without me having to do anything else, and it would log me in. I would say that works most of the time, but definitely not all the time, and I don't know enough about the program to know why yet. So the next thing I'm going to do is create a new entry, just to give you an idea of how that works.
Shift tab, one item sorted, shift tab, new item control plus N button to activate, press space bar.
Control N.
Control N, menu, log in to move for items.
First thing it wants to know is, what is this that I'm creating? It gives me all the options that we've talked about. Log in.
Secure note S.
Secure note, all those other things. So I'm going to set it to log in.
Log in, L.
And I'm going to tab.
Tab, secure note S.
Oops, sorry.
Shift tab, log in, L.
I have to hit enter here.
Enter, leaving menus, Caremark, 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 search for your items, edit, Caremark, type of text, vote personal, title for account, barrier, family, and vote personal, edit, type of text.
So it wants to know, what do I want to call this login that I'm putting in? So I will call it the Millionaires.
Millionaires.
Bank.
Bank tab, username, edit, type of text.
And my username will be Big Bucks. At gmail.com.
Password, edit, type of text.
And for password, I'll type money. Don't tell anybody.
Money tab. Generate new password button to activate.
If I wanted to, I could generate a new one here. Let me do that. Let's see what happens.
Space password generator. Regenerate button to act. Shift tab. Words button to activate. Press shift tab. Characters button check. Tab. Regenerate button tab. Password character length is 24. Left right slider 33%. Tab. Allow digits checkbox. Tab. Allow symbols. Tab. Allow ambiguous. Tab. Characters button check. Tab. Words button to act. Tab. Regenerate button to tab. Password character length is 24. Left right slider 33%.
I can't find the
increase or decrease with the arrow keys.
I can't find where it's showing it, so I'm gonna hit a
tab, allow digits check, tab, allow symbols, tab, allow ambiguous, tab, characters button check, to activate, press space, enter. Shift tab, allow ambiguous character escape, but us P4BM7, HMSJWY, but us P4BM7, HMSJWY.
There's my new password, it's cryptic, it's 20 characters long.
Tab, generate new password, but tab, website, edit, type of text.
The next thing it wants to know, it's got a label here called website.
Tab, web address, edit, type of text.
And I'll just type in a website, www.millions.com. That's really all I need to put in, but it does give you many more fields. You can put in a second website. You can put your own label on and put additional information. Sometimes you'll have a website that you use that also has a long ID associated with it, and you may want to put that in. So I'm finished with it, so I'm just going to hit Control S.
Control S, search for your items, edit, Caremark, type of text.
And it's saved.
Shift tab, preview all items, 100
if
items.
I want to find it.
Tab, search for your items, edit, Caremark, type of text.
I'm going to clear this search.
Tab, B, clear search button, but space, search for your items, edit, type of text.
I'm going to type million.
Million, enter, tab, address and search bar, edit, all tab, one password, million, 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 tab, B, clear search tab, new tab, one item sorted tab, multi-select list box, Millionaire's Bank, 202.
There it is, Millionaire's Bank. So that's a little bit about what it can do. You can conceal your passwords, and if you do that, if you really need to read one, there's a reveal button beside where the password would normally show, and you can hit that and it'll show it just as long as you're on that field, and then it goes away again. It has lots of other little features like that that you can use, and I really consider this by far the best password manager I've come across so far. I really believe in password managers, and I think this is the best one. You can also do all these same things on the iPhone. I don't think I'll demonstrate it on the iPhone. I can if somebody really wants me to, but basically you can go on the 1Password app on the iPhone. If you click on an entry, you can flick to its website and double tap on it, and it will open it, and with any luck it might even log you into it. You can also use it with Safari. If you have it set up properly, you can go on a website on Safari, and let's say that you suddenly realize you don't know your password and you need to fill it in. While you're on that website, you have to go to share and share that website with 1Password, and when you do, it opens it up and logs you in. If you look up something on the 1Password app, it uses its own browser, but it's accessible. It's close enough to Safari that you can use it. I haven't had any difficulty at all with that. I have not tried Android or the Mac, but I know there are versions available for all those things. So again, it's a multi-function, multi-use program, and I would entertain any questions you may have.
David, with one just clarification. So if you're on your iPhone, and you want to open your Bank of America account, you would go to the OnePass app, and that's where you would open it from. You wouldn't go to the Bank of America app.
I think if you did it from the OnePassword app, it will try to open the website. I don't think it's smart enough to know that you actually have an app for it, but there is one way to find out.
OnePassword. Enter alert. Touch ID for OnePassword.
And I'm able to use my Touch ID.
OnePassword.
If I change my master password, then I have to type it in once before I can use my Touch ID again.
Categories. Heading. Add new item. Search. All items. 100. Button.
Okay, so we'll do all items.
All items.
And
categories.
It's in a table view, so I'm going to go down to B.
Amazon for Perkins IT. Copy password. Amazon.com. Table index. Adjust B. Bank of America. Bojerry Checking.
Boa Jerry Checking is my bank account, so I'll double tap on it and see what happens.
Selected. All items. Back button. Edit. Bank of America. Login. Username. Bojerry Checking. Password. http://www.
So yeah, it's going to take me to the website. Once you have your account set up properly, the Bank of America app will let you log in using your fingerprint.
Yes. So if you didn't do fingerprint Touch ID, then you would have to know your Bank of America and password.
No, you would only have
on the iPhone. In the app.
In the One Password app.
No, I'm just saying. I want to, just how would you get into the Bank of America app?
Okay. If you didn't know your password to get into the app, let me get out of this.
All items, edit, button, Bank of America, login.
So.
Username, Bojerry Checking. Password, concealed text.
Right after password.
Password, concealed text, edit, actions.
Okay, if I arrow down on password, I think there's a copy link.
Yes,
reveal, copy.
Yep. So I can copy it, and then I could go right to my Bank of America app and paste it in. So it really, as strange as it seems, there really is no good reason to have to remember my passwords anymore, as long as I remember that master. If I ever forget that, I'm sunk.
So if you're traveling, you're at Apple doing this course, and you're using one of the computers that you wanted to access something, I mean, how would you use it on another computer or another device that you're not set up for?
You would go on the website, and you would need three pieces of information. You would need your username, your secret code, which I put on my thumb drive. I hope I never lose my thumb drive. It's just a long string of cryptic characters. And you need your master password. You can go on any website, log into onepassword.com, and open up your vault and see everything in there. And speaking of traveling, there is a travel mode where if you're in a foreign country or something and you're concerned about somebody seeing information that you may have on your iPhone, there's a way, and I haven't done it and I don't understand how it works, but there is a travel mode that removes all of the passwords from your iPhone or from your computer. So they're still in the cloud, but they would not be available on your computer. So if somebody got your equipment away from you, they would not be able to get them.
What's always concerned me about these password managers is that many companies get hacked. So if One Password got hacked, what protections are there that if somebody hacked their system, that they wouldn't have all of your passwords available to them?
I have no response for that. They encrypt all the information. There's certainly a risk with using anything like this, just as there is if you use Google and you allow it to store your passwords. It's relatively safe. As far as I know, they've never been hacked yet. But I suppose there is always the chance that could happen. The same as there's the chance that somebody could break into your house and get into your computer and find your list of passwords and use it. The risk is minimal, but is there a risk? Sure there is.
At least in my haphazard way, at least things are segregated in a certain sense. And here, everything is, every single password to everything that you do is available. And I'm assuming that they have a level of encryption and things like that, that even if they're hacked, that, they're not going to be able to do it. I was just curious about what they say. And I guess I can look it up on that thing. Yeah. I've been very tempted to do a password manager myself. And it sort of just concerns me in this age of hacking, but putting all my eggs in one basket.
When someone hacks a website like Experian or something, they're typically using a social hack and getting in past someone's, they've got someone's password, now they have access to a system. Whereas if you have an individual master password, someone would have to decide to hack every single individual password. There is no master account accessing all one password accounts. So someone would have to want to hack your password in particular, and they'd have to hack the encryption, which is very hard, and much harder than, say, trying to hack into a business and then suddenly have access to accounts through just basically one employee. So there is a difference.
That's very comforting to hear.
That is comforting, yes.
I want to make a few comments. I'm still using RoboForm. It's sometimes great, sometimes not. I hope that there is a setting in 1Password when you're filling in forms. I know on RoboForm there's a setting of fill forms and submit, or fill forms and don't submit. Never use automatic submission. never, because no matter how you think it's right, half the time it's not. I pay estimated taxes to Massachusetts, and it wants, you know, husband's name and wife's name, and RoboForm is not smart enough to know the difference, so I become both the husband and the wife. So I have to fix that manually. The other thing is just about leaving your information in the cloud and not having it on your own hard drive. I'm very old, and I'm very old-fashioned, and I was raised that you own your own information on your own computer. I pay for Carbonite, so everything is backed up. But I have an address book, it's a Word document, it's on my hard drive. But if somebody was, even if they stole my computer, it would take them the rest of their life to know where my passwords are in my system, because nothing's so obviously labeled as to call it passwords. I just like owning my own. The big problem for me is at my age, I'm going to drop dead, and then my heirs are not going to know my master password. So I always want to have my own information on my own hard drive, and that's just my way of doing computers.
I've often thought of that I should share my 1Password password with somebody, but I haven't found anybody I trust enough yet to do that.
Well,
and I think 1Password has a way that you can share certain information with your relatives. I don't know, I haven't looked into that very much, but I've heard about ways. I know RoboForm has a way that you can share information that if the person accesses it, you're made aware of it. So you tell them you don't access it till I die, and if you're still alive and they access it, it notifies you immediately, which is really a good deal. That way you can change your password and everybody's happy.
I'm Jeffrey. I use actually LastPass as a manager, but I believe that I should have a copy of the password somewhere else. So even if I have that thing generate passwords, I copy the passwords and put them in a file and either print the file out or put it somewhere where I know where it is, because I'm old-fashioned too, and I've seen too many things. And it's funny, we've all gone to stuff doing in the cloud, even the government. But when I was working 10 years ago in the government, they really didn't want us to do stuff in the cloud, because there was always that fear that things could get out. So you know, it's always one of those things you take your chances and you hope that there's so many people up there that with so many passwords that no one can get your stuff, or, you know, that's where we are.
Well, there are risks in everything we do, and I guess, you know, we have to decide which ones we're willing to take and which ones seem reasonable. I actually am quite comfortable with this, and I've got pretty much every password I have in it, and then some, and I hope I never live to regret it, but I don't think I will. I think it's pretty safe.
I just wanted to make a quick comment on the two-factor authentication, and that's just a really good way to prevent people from getting into your account, even if they've hacked your password. Because what that is once you log in, you might have seen it with Apple. I believe they enable it by default, and probably some other places, and I'd suggest you enable it wherever you can. It will basically, once you log in, then you receive a verification code for instance, via a text message to your phone. There are multiple ways of doing it, but so then you receive that text message from your phone and you have to enter in the verification code. So if someone were to hack into your account, they still, if they knew your password, they still couldn't get in because they don't have your phone. And, you know, you'd get a text asking you for a verification code, and if, you know, you didn't ask for it, then that would be a red flag for you to check what's going on your account. And on that same premise, no one is mentioning with the government, at least. I work for an agency in the state of New York, and I will say we are, you know, state government, and we have moved to the cloud and Office 365, and we do use two-factor authentication. So I think even if some of the government can use it, I think it is quite secure.
We've had to use it for my Uber account because we were having a problem. They kept thinking I was John and John was me, and they got our stuff mixed up. I don't know how, but they did. We could not get into my Uber account, and I finally set up two-factor authentication. It's a beautiful thing.
We use it at work all the time. In fact, my computer, because I work in the IT department, my laptop is encrypted, completely encrypted, and when I turn it on, I don't get JAWS or anything because the encryption comes way before JAWS in the loading process. So I have to just wait a certain amount of time, like at least a minute, and then carefully type in my password. If I type it in a few times and get it wrong, then I have to go to somebody else who looks up in a book what the code is to release it on my computer. So far, that's only happened to me once, but we're really into encryption and that sort of thing.